I wish to endeavor to be brief. For one thing, Brother Roger of the Tizay community does not put stock in sermons. And so when the Tizay community gathers, it is through song and prayer. But very rarely will you hear someone expound upon some aspect of Scripture or otherwise. But we thought as a team that it was important to talk about part of how we came to this experience, one being that Bill McCarthy felt a calling upon his heart to share and has had exposure to Tizay. And a part of me has always been wanting to see that happen here. I know it's probably happened in the past, in part because of the way that Tizay has been on my journey. As a freshman in college at Grinnell College, I was invited to a Bible study a couple of months into my freshman year. And perhaps you can remember a time when you were just starting out into something and trying to figure out how a faith life or a spiritual journey might tie into something as new and fresh as all new people, all new opportunities, new classes, a new place far many states away from my family. And I remember that in the second or third gathering there at the math professor's house, which was great that I got to know a math professor because I went to very few math classes. So I'm very glad we had the opportunity to get to know each other through Bible study. He showed a video about the Tizay community, of which I had never heard before. And I was drawn in to talking about the history of this community as it came about through Brother Roger. Came about as France was about to be occupied for World War II. His mother had been from France. He was raised in Switzerland, not far across the border there. And he was drawn to the countryside and eventually found the region where his mother had grown up and was drawn to this place at Tizay. There was much turbulence, of course, happening as the war would begin to rage and the occupation would happen. But he and his community there started to harbor refugees. They started to harbor those who were fleeing from the Nazis, particularly Jews. And eventually they were kicked out and had to go to Switzerland until the end of the war. But as he was gathered there, there were other brothers who were felt called into this mission back at Tizay. And so then after the war, he went back where he'd felt called. And he and the brothers there began to form a community. An interesting piece about Brother Roger was that he was Protestant, and yet always felt drawn towards Catholic brothers and sisters and sought over time to do the impossible, which was to create an ecumenical bridge. Especially in that climate after the war, the question of what united them through the Spirit of God and brought a sense of hope to people there in that community, because there was a deep sense of dislocation. Certainly as people were refugees, not having a home any longer, but also the sense of the Spirit of God. Was there a God to be heard from, to be felt within the heart after so much deep devastation, after the murder of so many people, and after questions of if there would be an opportunity to rebuild and what it would look like if the church actually came together? And so over years, not only Catholics came and were attracted there, Catholic priests became part of the brothers of that community, and Protestants, also Eastern Orthodox, and people from around the world. Especially young people, as I said. People who were in those spaces of really not knowing how it is that the faith they may have grown up in or not grown up in could find life and could find a tradition that's longer and larger than their own. And a life that extends past the brokenness that they may have experienced in the different places they would have been a part of. And brothers of that community went into places that were afflicted with poverty and drought and would go and live amongst people who were otherwise feeling dislocated and sick and injured and abandoned. And then they would come back to Tizay to share about their experiences, but to also be filled up again, saying, "Come and fill our hearts with your peace." One challenge they found as they continued to gather there was that people came with all different languages. How are they going to have a common language by which they could learn from each other and understand what each other are saying? Well, they came to this sense of the chant. We're singing in English today as we familiarize ourselves with the music, but they began to sing in Latin. In large part because it was no one's one language. Of course, it's not spoken as it once was. But that centering language was a way for people to be on the same page, to beat with the same heart, and to start to chant and to feel the impulse and the liveness of God in that space. So to this day, you can go to the Tizé community as it's located southeast of France, not too far off from the Switzerland border. You can go there, and they encourage particularly young people to come and stay for a whole week, to come, and they get in small groups of people that do speak your language, and you share from your heart about where you've been and how God is calling. And somehow you're moved as others would share parts of their stories. And you go then to worship in these huge tent-like church structures. Can you imagine 6,000 people chanting the things that we have been chanting? If you've noticed, and I find this when I'm singing, sometimes I'm singing and sometimes I'm not vocally singing. I'm allowing the others in the room to hold that space and to sing. Sometimes it's just the instruments that are playing and providing that more than the background, the very posture of our breath as we let ourselves over into that moment. I think it's made all the more special knowing that there are these communities that are picking up Tizé worship all across the world, and that there in Tizé itself, a place that would emanate and seek to radiate peace, is providing a part of that ecumenical spirit. And I think that's a part of where we come in too, having come from the Church of the Spirit, the Savior. And Gordon Cosby, who was very much on the ecumenical movement around the same time that Tizé was starting to take flight and to form. And the sense that there is no shortage of divisions that would divide us, no shortage of denominations that would dictate what it is that we believe and what we don't. But I think of the hope as all would come there and to find a common language of how, about how the Spirit is guiding and leading us. And the encouragement, especially when you're first getting to know Tizé, is not to go there and stay forever. The encouragement is to go and to allow that peace, that which is well-springed up within you, to then go out and to populate the world. And to come into spaces like ours so that when we come here and are filled and seek to be anointed, we then go out and represent that peace and that hope, having spoken a common language. And then the invitation is that as you go out, you're going to find people also speaking that language. They might not have the Latin down. It might not sound quite the same. But when you encounter that joy and that mercy, you're going to recognize it. I recognize it regularly when I wave on the corner and I get these joyous waves back, or somebody stops to come and talk to me and wants to take time out in order to find what it is that is motivating us through these places of division. And so my encouragement is, as we move forward to the table and as we would think about the properties of oil, that we recognize the Spirit who is always seeking to meet us in the places in which we desire to be whole. And so I don't know where you are coming from today particularly. It may be a diagnosis. It may be a broken relationship. It may be a place of utter joy. Allow the oil that comes in to be a confirmation of God's Spirit of presence with us, not only here, but rippling throughout our world and our earth, and seeking to bring restoration in the ways in which we sometimes get caught into hopelessness, seeking to mind those gaps and come in and to be a source of that wonderful presence of the Spirit. It's something that Brother Roger felt for 90 years before he died there at community. And it's something that the brothers that continue to gather there and all that come from around the world continue to seek. And don't those who might consider them part of younger generations need to see from each of us a sense of hope that would carry us on into the next spaces of our generation and the next spaces for our world? So the healing properties of oil are available to us. In Jesus' day and age, you hear of how the oil was looked to as a means to bind the body, and I think also bring spiritual and emotional healing as well. In the James community that would have existed after the life of Jesus, there was a need for something tangible to be that source of healing and that property, that they knew that when they came together as community, it brought a source of hope. And to go and seek out that sign of restoration would be one that would sustain them for the journey and bring them to a place of collective healing, even as each one sought healing. Now, we know that it's not always going to mean the exact curing of a cancer diagnosis, but we do believe in a God who meets us there and don't want to put anything outside of God's powers. And so I invite you to give over whatever it is that you're holding. Perhaps it's a lifetime of depression. Perhaps it's, again, that place in which you feel disconnected from someone else. And I'm not saying that it will all disappear, all the despair we experience, all the lack of hope that we might have upon our hearts. But here we say we believe in the Spirit's ability to touch that and to also heal beyond our ability to understand, to bring peace that passes our own understanding, and to put nothing outside of the realm of God's possibility. We turn it over now, continuing into the Tizay Spirit, giving over ourselves, surrendering where we're called, and believing in the God of love that unites us in peace. Amen.